You're up.
So I know this isn't a question that rests solely on you, Mr. Goodell, but I'm sure it's a question that permeates with a lot of us. Is there still a plan to keep the Raiders in Oakland?
Yeah, and that question came up a little before. Let me try to address it. I think the responsibility of keeping the Raiders in Oakland lies with all of us. It starts with the league, making sure we have a system that will allow the team to be able to have the resources to compete. It starts with the community and making sure we have the right facility. I think there's a recognition we got to get a new stadium and get that done. I think that's critical. And it also goes to the business community. We got to support the team and do the things that are necessary that other communities are supporting their team. And then it really comes back right to you guys at the end of the day, which is the fan support. And you see the passion. We have to do everything we can to make sure we support this team. And I know the passion's here. We just have to continue to do that.
Right here. You can stand up. Oh, hands.
The business community will be there. I promise you that.
I heard you earlier. On that.
The one thing I heard, though, that each of you guys talked, you had a question, is it the same, better, worse? You guys talked about the team, the players, people working together. One of the concerns that I have as a fan who watched for a long time, as you can tell, is that there was a time when there was, you know, more of a team. There probably were prima donnas, but they didn't stand out. There was something you guys did to them in the locker room that kept them in check. So it seems. These days, you know, you get some of these young kids out of college, they make so much money so soon, and they just blow up, and they just don't, you know, they don't appreciate where they're at and what they can be and what they can do. What can be done as coach, general manager, commission, whatever, colleagues to help these guys out better?
I'll just start from one perspective, because I heard this from players, active and former players, and I think Howie made a reference to this. It's the leadership in the locker room that makes the difference. It's the veterans teaching the young guys how to do things. And one of the really very significant things that happened when we got our collective bargaining 2 years ago was a salary cap rookie pool. And that rookie pool restricts the amount of money that go to the rookie players, and the money is shifted to the veteran players. And I think that has changed the dynamics a lot, because no longer are they coming in making more money than the veteran. They may be making a lot of money when they come in, but the veterans are still the leadership. And I heard that repeatedly from players. So as much as it was to shift the economics to the veteran players, it was also to reestablish that veteran leadership.
Any other comment?
Well, I that's a tough situation. I think if you look at back when we were rookies, the popularity of the game has grown so much that there is so many things outside the game for the young guys coming in. You know, the football game, John's football game, and the different things that are promoted outside of the game that make these guys so much bigger before they put their first step. And plus, the draft has gotten so big. So if you think about the draft, We never used to know about really a lot of these young guys coming into the game. We know about all these guys because as big as the draft's got and all the background is done on these kids, we all know who these kids are now well before we used to know them. We used to know them when they started playing good football. Now we know them because they're great college football players. And so people see them and know them now. And so obviously with the popularity of the game and the endorsement money that's out there, they're put on a pedestal a heck of a lot earlier than we were. And I don't know that you can prevent it too much, but I think what the commissioner said as far as the amount of money that's being given to the rookies, you know, through the wage scale that we have for the rookies coming in, the money's going in the right spot to the guys that deserve it. And so I think that's only been a couple years. I think that's going to help us continue to get it back to we don't have those kids, and they'll come in and start realizing they're going to earn their stripes before they're given the stripes.
You know, one thing I'm actually blown away by, and you referenced some of the young players and concerns about their attitude and kind of putting the cart before the horse maybe a little bit. I go in a different direction. I think you're seeing the car wreck. You're reading about the car wreck in the newspaper. You're seeing it on TV. What's being reported is the bad. There are a lot of – I'm constantly blown away by how impressive a lot of our young players are. You look at the three quarterbacks. Russell Wilson. I coached high school football in Virginia for 8 years. We played against him in high school. Couldn't beat him. He's the same exact kid he was then as he is now. Money, no money. And I think from John's perspective now with the GM hat on, it comes back to what kind of guy you want to draft. But I think our young guys are so impressive, and there's so many more of them than you really know. They're articulate, they're responsible, they're respectful. I think they're mindful of the history of the game. They could probably be a little bit more informed about the history of the game, and I think the NFL is doing a lot of things to try to do that. Because I think it is important, and the Hall of Fame and the great players that came before Ronnie and came before John and came before me. But I think we have a lot of really, really quality young players.
I got to say one thing about that, because first I agree with Howie. I couldn't be more proud of our players, and you don't hear enough about the great guys and what they do in their communities. But second of all, we are here in part, and we're starting tonight celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Hall of Fame and the great men that made our game. It was really Diane Long who came up with the idea. Right, Diane? I remember very distinctly. She wanted to make sure that the rookie players, when they came into the league, understood more about the men that came before them and what the game is all about. So now we have our rookie symposium in Ohio, and every one of those players are required to come through the Hall of Fame and see the men who built the game, what the game is all about, and why they have to leave the game better than when they came into it. And it's had a profound effect on some of these young guys.
So can I redirect for the four of you? Three of you are wearing the jacket. This video may be shown to those young players. You put on the jacket. What does it mean to you? And what should it mean to them? Coach?
That it means everything. It's a very exclusive club. And, you know, when you go in, you think that, you know, you're the one guy that doesn't belong there because you're surrounded by greatness, and you're going to be surrounded by that greatness forever. It's a club that you can't be cut from, and forever is a great thing. And when I was inducted into the Hall of Fame, I said that I believe that the busts talk to each other. And I really do, and I'll never be proven that it's not true. Because you have all those people, and you're talking about forever. And you're going to be in that room with those busts forever. And yet you have to talk. I mean, there's no way you could be in there with all those great people and not talk. So to be in there and know that it's going to be there forever. I mean, it's going to be there 10 years, 50 years, 100 years. You're always going to be in that club. And you're always going to be around greatness. And you just feel, one, very humbled by it, but two, very happy to be a part of it.
John?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that I heard those busts, and they all said, go get Peyton Manning. He's fine. He's going to have a great year. So I'm telling you, there's a lot of problems solved among those busts because I heard it back here. But there's still times, and I have not – I was inducted in 04, and I've only been back once, and I haven't been back through the hall since 04. And I will tell you, it is still amazing to me that I'm part of that group because all those guys when I went in were all my heroes when I was growing up. And so for me now to be among them in a club that is so exclusive that as a football player I think it's the most exclusive club in the world. And I'd rather be in that club than in the President's Club because of what it means and how much football meant to me when I was growing up and my dad being a football coach. And to be able to say, not only be proud of myself, but my dad, who was a football coach, to be able to, and he wasn't there when I got elected, he passed on, but to be able to look back and look up in the sky and say, you know what, Dad, I made you proud of me. And that was always my goal. And so it's a club, as Coach said, that you never get cut from, that it'll always be a part on, that will outlive all of us, hopefully for hundreds and hundreds of years, and to be able to say that you're one of those guys and a part of this, what I believe is the greatest game ever invented, and it's really just going to continue to get better. So, you know, to be able to sit up here with three other members and say that, you know what, I'm with these guys is a great feeling.
Yeah, I think you look at the game and you think of the guys that have played this game, and right away you can look at certain players and you know what they stood for and why they played the game, and you talked about the character, and you can go back and you can think of guys that played this game, that had to play this game when you couldn't go out. You couldn't go out your hotel. And not only could you not go out your hotel, but your teammates would have to make sure that they protected you. And so you think of the characteristics of those guys, and you think of the privilege of them playing and playing at a high level, and then being around them. And when you're around these guys and you have a chance to sit down and you're talking to Willie Lanier and you're just talking to him about what he did and how he played the game, but more importantly, they're sharing who they are with you. And I think one of the great things is that it's a great way of getting a chance to be around some people where you sit there and you can learn from them. And not only learn from them, but life goes on. And so when I'm around these guys, I think what's great is that being able to have the yellow jacket is great, but to get to know them, to get to understand why they played the way that they played. And, you know, I remember when we went in, and this young man was crying, and he was crying, and he was crying because he was sitting there. It was his first time back. It was Hugh McElhaney. And he goes, man, you guys don't realize how lucky I am to play this game of football. And we were all in the room together, and he was crying. And he couldn't believe that he had the opportunity to play the great game of football. So there are moments like that that I'll never forget, that it meant that much to him. And I think that when you're in that room, there's something special about those guys. And yes, you can't get cut, but man, one of the great moments, Ray Niskey walked up to me one day and he goes, Kit, I could have played with you. I could have played with you. And you have moments like that that you never forget. They stay with you for life. And this is an unbelievable privilege to be up here with all these with all these guys. And I'm very blessed and know that I'm blessed because this is a great game. Great game.
You know, it's not something I don't think you really think about as a player. While you're playing, you're not thinking about money, you're not thinking about the Hall of Fame, you're thinking about trying to be as good as you possibly can be. And if you're fortunate enough to go to an organization like the organization that I was drafted by, you're surrounded by that kind of greatness, whether it's Freddie Blitnikoff, Willie Brown, Art Shell, Gene Upshaw. You can't help but kind of dream a little bit about maybe someday being considered great. And when you get that call, and Ronnie and I went in together in 2000 with Joe Montana and Dave Wilcox from the 49ers and Mr. Rooney. And there's always, on top of the bond that you have with everyone in that room, the class that you go in with, you're forever linked with. To say it's a special honor individually is an understatement. It's something that you have to pinch yourself as John mentioned, periodically, and remind yourself that I'm in the Hall of Fame. Things went okay. You know, I was, you know, because you're really not thinking when you're playing, I'm good. You're thinking about the next day, the next play, the next series, the next game, the next year, and continuing to be in that class. And when you go in the Hall of Fame, you don't just go in. Your teammates go in. Your high school coach goes in. Your family goes in. A lot of people go in with you. It's a special, special week. And it's a week I'll never forget.